Our passage this morning is Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. As we've anticipated Christ's birth, we've been working our way through the prophecies about Christ and his coming. And now this morning, we look at the prophecy of a child. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7. As we get ready to turn our attention to God's word this morning, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn to your word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. For the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the later time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it. With justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, the story of Christ's birth is a story about light. And it's not the lights that we decorate with, the lights that you see as you drive down Main Street, or the lights that are hanging on your home, or the lights that are on the tree in your living room. The story is about the light coming into the world, a world that's been thrown into darkness, the darkness of rebellion and the darkness of sin. The world, when Christ was born, had become a very dark place. The darkness of immorality and injustice and violence and greed and self-righteousness, stealing, racism, hate, and all of the other sins and brokenness of our world, a world that longs for the light. And as it turns out, everyone was part of this problem and everyone suffered from this problem of sin and darkness, but no one could solve this problem. And so what we have is God providing the only way, sending His one and only Son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, so that there would be light in the world, so that God could shine forth the grace of salvation through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. A light shining into the darkness. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Now, part of the Christmas story, the story of Christ's birth that gets all of the attention, is the positive side, the light side, Him being born. And what He has accomplished, the miracle of God becoming man, coming to earth in the form of a baby. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And this story, it's so amazing and it's so comforting that it's hard for us to even wrap our minds around it, that God has come to earth. It is the good news of great joy. There is no better news than that. But there's two sides to this story. The reason there's good news, the reason that there's light, is because of the bad news and the darkness. The other side of this Christmas story, the side where we see the people walking in darkness and dwelling in a land of deep darkness, those who are in desperate need of the light. Paul Tripp says that the birth of Jesus was bad news. It wasn't just your typical piece of bad news, it was the worst news ever. And what he means when he's saying that is that part of the Christmas story, what makes God's work of sending His one and only Son for our salvation, what makes that make sense, is the reason why He had to do that. Whenever someone does something unexpected or even extraordinary, we often ask the question, well, why would He do that? And the same can be said for God becoming man and being born, coming to earth. The question is, why? Why would God do that? Why would He do this? And as we look at the reason why, what we see is that God had to become one of us. He had to come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ because there was no other way. There was no other way because our biggest darkness, our biggest problem, isn't the situation that we find ourselves in, isn't the circumstances of our life. Our biggest problem isn't our family members or our financial situation or, you can fill in the blank. Our biggest problem doesn't lie outside of us. Our biggest problem is inside of us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, a light has shone on them. And that darkness, the bad news, is the sin dwelling inside of us, the reality of sin. But once you own that, once you name that, you can also celebrate the reality of the forgiveness of sins, the light shining into the darkness, the best news ever. Our first point this morning is the people who walked in darkness. The people who walked in darkness. Now, what is this darkness that Isaiah is talking about? What is the darkness? The people who walked in darkness, they're living, they're dwelling in this land of deep darkness. Sometimes that's described or translated as the shadow of deep darkness or the shadow of darkness. Right before our passage, if you have your Bibles open, right before Isaiah chapter 9, at the end of Isaiah 8, this darkness is being described. If you look to chapter 8, verse 20, to the teaching and to the testimony, if they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They have no sunrise. They have no light. A few Sundays ago, we were looking at Isaiah chapter 7, and that prophecy, the virgin will be with child, Emmanuel, God with us. That was a sign that was given to Ahaz, a sign of God's presence. And because Ahaz rebelled, because Ahaz turned to the Assyrians for deliverance instead of to the Lord, we saw how God would still be present with Ahaz. But this time, Emmanuel, God with us, was punishment. It was discipline. God was present and he was bringing the Assyrian army. If you look at chapter 8, Isaiah 8, the end of 8 there, it says, O Emmanuel, O God with us. But it's talking about the Assyrian army destroying the land of Judah. Be broken, you people, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. This is Isaiah 8, verse 9. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Hebrew word there once again is Emmanuel, God with us. Now when we hear Emmanuel, God with us, that typically is a comforting thing. God with us, he's going to deliver us. And that is true. But here you have God with us and he's with them in order to punish. The people are in exile. God is with them in his anger, in his wrath because of sin. And it's also true, and so you have both going on at the same time, that God is with them not only to discipline and punish because of their disobedience, but also with them to deliver. The people are in exile. The picture that we're given here in Isaiah is a dark and a bleak picture of gloom. They're thrust in utter darkness. They've turned away from the Lord. Isaiah satisfied his deepest need by turning to the enemy, by turning to the Assyrians. And the entire section, Isaiah 7, 8, 9, is this prophecy to Judah about results of that decision, of them turning to Assyria instead of the Lord and the consequences that are going to have. But yet there's still hope. Now as Isaiah is describing this darkness, initially you might look at this darkness as something that's outside of us. You're walking in the darkness. You're living in the land of deep darkness, the valley of deep darkness, or the shadow of death. And John, if we jump forward to the New Testament, John chapter 1 picks up on this theme as he describes Christ as the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. For John, the darkness represents evil. And that evil tries to overcome the light, but it doesn't succeed. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not overcome it. It's like a battle between the light and the darkness. And the light drives away the darkness. And when John is talking about darkness, he's talking about the evil and the environment that people find themselves in. It's not just the absence of light. Darkness is no light. It's the presence of evil. Those who follow Jesus do not walk in the darkness. John 8 verse 12. They are to walk while they have light, lest the darkness overtake them. Chapter 12 verse 35 in John. And here in Isaiah we have that same picture of what Christ is born into. A picture of darkness, a picture of the presence of evil, the evil that is outside of us, but to take it to the next level, it's also the evil that's inside of us. And John hints at that what too as well, because John 3 verse 19 points to they loved darkness rather than light. So it's not just the darkness outside there. It's not just the evil that's outside of us, the darkness that we're stumbling around in. It's the darkness that lives inside of us as well. The fact of the matter is that you and I simply have no way to rescue ourselves from the greatest danger that we face. And that greatest danger is me, is us, our sin. This means that without the birth of this child, this Son. Without the birth of Jesus, we would be destroyed by the darkness that lives inside of us. The sin and the darkness that's inside of us from the moment we were conceived. Think about it in this way. If our greatest problem in this world was an external problem, families we are part of, the situations we're in, our job, anything, pick a problem. If the problems that we face in this world were taken away, didn't exist, I have no problems, no concerns, no fears, we would still be in a very serious situation because of the danger we are to ourselves, because of the darkness that lives inside. If the only thing we needed was a little change to our circumstance or our situation, then Jesus becoming man wouldn't make sense. But if the greatest danger lives inside of us, then this extreme step of God taking on human flesh, of God becoming man in order to save us from ourselves, that makes sense. And we don't have to look far in Scripture to realize what this darkness, this sin is capable of. Romans 3 verse 23 explains the darkness with a few simple words. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news of the Christmas story, that we have sinned, that we are the reason that Christ had to become man, that sin separates us from God. We stumble around in the sin and in the darkness, and as John says, we prefer the darkness instead of the light. But what the Christmas story is telling us is something more. It tells us that Jesus knew about this darkness inside of us. He knew our weakness. He knew how we would love the darkness more than the light. He knew how we were infected. He knew that like addicts, we go after and pursue the very thing that's killing us. And that's why he came. Now if you're like me, you have trouble believing or admitting this bad news, admitting the darkness and the sin in your own heart. When you do something wrong, probably try to blame it on stress or sickness or bad boss or your spouse or your kids, the pressure of life, situation that's outside of your control. When others who love you enough to come alongside you and point out your sin, point out a wrong. When others who love you enough to actually say something tell you that, hey, you're really being selfish here, or you're being ungrateful here. That wasn't a kind thing to say. You're acting entitled. Our initial response isn't to be thankful. If you're like me, you jump to your defense because it's hard to believe that the sinner that they're describing is you. So I want to encourage you today in a fresh way to own and accept the bad news of Christ's birth. Because if you do, then the good news becomes all the more comforting and glorious as we celebrate why Christ has come. Christ's coming tells you that you have been set free from slavery to sin and darkness, from denying or minimizing the darkness. Oh, it's not dark at all. I see perfectly. Christ has set us free from that denial and that minimizing because he has rescued us from ourselves. He has rescued us from our sin. He has forgiven us for our sin. He has saved us. Christ has shined into the darkness. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. That baby in the manger came to earth with everything that we need. And when you can admit this need, then you're able to fully celebrate the only solution, deliverance, that's found in Christ. The people who walked in darkness, first of all, and now secondly, have seen a great light. That's our second point this morning, have seen a great light. It's said that the ancient Norsemen of Northern Europe celebrated the winter solstice by lighting huge bonfires. During the darkest parts of winter, they would light a huge bonfire, tell stories, drink ale. They called it the Yule. The Yule log was lit to conquer the darkness, to banish the evil spirits, to bring luck for the coming year. And this is all before Christianity came to Europe. But what we see is that their natural response to darkness was a desire and a striving for light. Make it light. Build a big bonfire. Light a Yule log. Darkness is bad. Light is good. And here we have Isaiah prophesying about the light that is shining into the darkness. A light has shone. So what is the light that Isaiah is talking about here in Isaiah chapter 9? Well, the light is Christ. And what I want you to see is how Christ is the answer to our sin. How he is the light shining into the darkness. I mean, verses 6... Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 are probably the most encouraging words ever written. But because we're so familiar with them, because we've seen them on so many Christmas cards, they might not have the same impact that they've had before. Listen to how Christ is the answer to our sin. Listen to this contrast, this good news, this gospel in contrast to the worst news ever. Because in the darkness you see this glimmer of light. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there's no end. So there's no end to his rule. He's going to reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forever. This is going to happen forever. We have justice, we have righteousness, we have holiness as this king is ruling and reigning. And it's God, his zeal, who is going to accomplish this, who is going to do this. Christ is this light, and it's the light that's shining outside of us. You have this hope through the darkness and the distresses of our life here and now, and that light is Christ. Isaiah is so certain about this prophecy that he gives this prophecy in the past tense. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is 600 years before Jesus is born, and it is so for sure going to happen that Isaiah talks about it as if it's a done deal. They've already seen the light. On them a light has shone. That's the certainty of God's promise to send the light. A light has shone. It's as if those walking and stumbling in darkness have already seen this light. There will be, back up to verse 1, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Discipline, punishment for sin. But in a later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Here we have hope. It's not just what God is doing out there, though. It's not just the light shining outside of us. It's also about what God is accomplishing in you. The light that's shining into our dark hearts. So what does that mean? What does this light shining into the darkness mean for you? Well, what does your relationship with God look like right now? Are you at peace with God? Or does this relationship feel strained? Do you feel far from God? Have you turned away from God? Have you turned to sin like Ahaz, turning away from God and to the Assyrians? Have you looked for your solution, deliverance, salvation in some other area in life? Are you trusting in something instead of or in place of God? And the result is this feeling of darkness that Isaiah is describing, stumbling around in the dark. Well, here's the good news that you need to hear this morning. Here's the light. God's love for you, His relationship with you, Him saving you isn't because of you, isn't based on you. He loves you with a perfect love because of Christ. His relationship of peace has been restored because of this child who has been born and this son who has been given. This is accomplished by Him. It's the zeal of the Lord of hosts who will do this. You aren't mustering up the strength to figure this out and accomplish your salvation in and of yourself. You're lost in darkness. You're stumbling. And Christ breaks into this darkness with His light of salvation. The zeal of the Lord will do this, Isaiah tells us. God will make sure that what He promised will happen. God always does what He says He's going to do. And this is why we can depend on Isaiah's promise that all of our needs as sinners are going to be met, because God has placed His zeal on every one of these promises. Think about what that means, that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What does that mean? It means that God will unleash His almighty power and authority to guarantee that all that was promised in the birth of Jesus would be delivered to each one of His elect children. This is the reason He has come. The hope, the encouragement, the comfort for us sinners this morning is that God is the one accomplishing our salvation, shining the light into the darkness of our hearts. And what this means for you and your struggle against the sin and the darkness that keeps on tripping you up and dragging you down is that the zeal of the Lord of hosts has accomplished it. We have hope because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and that's our hope, a light shining into the darkness. It means that each and every way that sin has broken us and hurt us and blinded us and made us fools and liars and tripped us up and plunged us into darkness is going to be met with the light of Christ. The light that drives away the darkness. And that's why there is no better news. That's why this is described by the angels of good news of great joy. Because in Christ we have the answer to our greatest need. Christmas story tells us the darkest news ever, that we are sinners, that we have darkness in our hearts. But it also tells us the best news ever, the greatest good news, the gospel, that we are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelled in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise You and we thank You for the grace that You have shown to us in Jesus Christ, for sending Your one and only Son, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The light shining into the darkness of this broken world, the light that's shining into the darkness of our broken hearts and sinful hearts. Lord, we pray that you will continue your work in us and among us through Jesus Christ, shining this light, driving away the darkness as we look forward to and anticipate the day of Christ's return. And the fullness of the salvation that is ours in Him. Father, help us to live each day in light of all that You have given to us in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of our sins, the eternal life, because this child has been born. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.